Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast with Pastor Paul White. This five-minute podcast is designed to reveal to you the loveliness of our Lord Jesus.
Grace and peace. Welcome to another podcast. I'm going to continue reading today from my book, Revelation to Transformation, How Seeing Jesus Will Change Your Life. I'm at the bottom of page 64 on the chapter, the scripture that changed my life. That's chapter 6, and we're almost done. Let me read the last two paragraphs of page 64. You need no deliverance from something unless it is binding and restrictive, which is exactly what happens to those on whom we place more law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and now we are free to live, serving Him in a new way by the Holy Spirit instead of the old ways of laws and commandments. We will deal even more with the law in future chapters as we unveil more and more of exactly what Christ has accomplished for all of us. For now, let's conclude our discussion of law with one more statement on what Christ's finished work provides for us concerning morality. Some will argue that reinforcing to believers who they are in Christ and reminding them that they are free from the law will not bring a higher standard of living to them. We will prove that generality wrong as we go, but let's state this now so it can begin to sink in. Under grace, you will live better on accident than you ever did on purpose while trying to keep the law. It's a fact, and only living it out can prove it right or wrong. Keep this in mind. Jesus did not die so that you would never sin again. If He did, He failed. I know that is a bold statement, but think about it. If Christ's death at Calvary was to ensure that I would never mess up again, I should obviously never mess up again. The only obvious thing I see is that I have messed up again. If you are honest, I think you will admit as much about your own life. He didn't die to take away my ability to sin, but He did die to take care of the sin issue. Remember, He was the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29. Not the sins of the world. There are still sins in the world, but the issue of sin binding man has been dealt with, and the answer is found in Jesus. Late in this book is an entire chapter that covers the topic of dealing with sin in our life. We will dig in later and discuss the ongoing issue with failure and what we can expect to happen in our lives now that we know Christ. But before we get into that, I think it is necessary to shine more light on this glorious grace. By nature of discussing such controversial topics in scriptures, there are probably many questions forming in your mind about the mighty message of grace. I know that when 1 Corinthians 6:12 took root in my heart, it sparked a firestorm of internal debate and questions, all of which led me deeper into my search for the truth of Christ. The end result is a change in the way we live, pray, function, and act, and even in the way we read our Bibles. Some call it a revolution, while others say it is a rebellion. You are beginning to formulate your own theory about that even as you read, so let's go a bit deeper into that thought. I want to show you the real job of God's grace. Are you ready? Chapter 7, Grace, Revolution, or Rebellion. Do you realize that as believers in Christ, in Jesus Christ, we have been given a great gift? Aside from the assurance that we are righteous through Christ's finished work, and the joy that comes in knowing this, we hold within our hearts something so awesome and powerful that all of the powers of darkness wage a constant war against our understanding of it. You and I have been given the gift of God's grace, which brings us everlasting consolation and good hope. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:16. The Greek word for consolation denotes encouragement, meaning that God's grace provides us with a constant source of encouragement through the finished work of Jesus. Hope means a constant expectation of good. Put the two together, and you find that one of the chief provisions of God's grace in the life of all believers is to always encourage us and give us a reason to expect good things. Don't think it selfish or bad to expect good things from God. Jesus said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" That's Matthew 7:11. Due to the grace of God, we can always be encouraged that our Father is working all things out for our good, Romans 8:28. The underlying theme in this book has been the love of God and the loveliness of Jesus. We have accented that theme by showing that God is no longer angry with man because of the finished work of His Son on the cross. We have also tried to unveil the loveliness of Jesus, showing Him the way the Song of Solomon said He is, altogether lovely. Song of Solomon, 5:16. That's all I have time for today. I'm going to continue reading from chapter 7 from my book, Revelation to Transformation, on tomorrow's podcast. Grace and peace to you as you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Podcast. For more information on our ministry, visit www.paulwhiteministries.org.